All right,
yeah.
Back in session, everyone. Thank you. Paul, can you please read item number 952?
Yes. Approve changes to plan for Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing and Establish Committee.
Commissioner Fish, just kidding. Colleagues, we're here today we're here today not only to approve changes to the PSAP plan, but also to formally establish the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing by resolution. In the coming week, I'll make my final selection for the members of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, also known as the PCCEP, sometimes PSEP. I have to say, I'm energized by the future of PSEP. This has been a long road. Some would probably argue, not inaccurately, maybe a little bit too long, but the work has culminated in these amendments, and the thoughtfulness and creativity in the work of the PSEP facilitators reassure me that this was the level of community engagement initially contemplated by the settlement agreement. I want to take a moment to single out and thank the Albina Ministerial Alliance for Police Reform and Justice, otherwise known as AMAC. They've been a necessarily critical voice in the development of this committee, and they've worked with my office and the PSEP facilitators to arrive at a place of understanding and collaboration. Their role in the settlement agreement is an important one, and it should not be understated. We need the AMAC's voice in this process, and I'm appreciative of the time they've spent considering the PSEP plan and offering their input. I'm confident that every single applicant I interviewed has the experience and the perspective to take on this challenging and meaningful work. The changes to the PSEP plan we're talking about today are largely based on the recommendations of our excellent facilitators. I see Brandon Lee here from the Training for Transformation. Thank you for being here, Brandon, and for all your hard work on this. I'd also like to acknowledge Hun Teng of Training for Transformation, and Brad Taylor, the Brad Taylor Group, who unfortunately could not be here today. Together, they are the three PSEP facilitators. Our facilitators propose changes based on best practices and their experience in doing this kind of work. The proposed changes give us a chance to maximize community engagement as well as to make changes that will make it easier for PSEP members to fully participate in the process. This is not business as usual. We have a chance to make a truly effective and transformational committee. In order for this to happen, I want to make sure that we're creating a smart framework for this committee based on the recommendation of experts. The PSEP facilitators began this work in May. They took a trauma-informed approach to outreach and prioritized outreach to people with mental health conditions, people with a disability, youth, the houseless community, the LGBTQ community, immigrants and refugees, and the Black, Native, and Latinx communities. We received over 100 applications for the PSEP board. I completed the interviews last week with 17 adults and 6 high school-aged youth, and I'm happy to share that I have a very difficult decision to make. All of them were exceptional candidates. I'll be announcing my appointees and alternates within the next 2 weeks. Until then, I'm thrilled to move the work of the PSEP forward by supporting these amendments. Nicole Grant, who is my senior advisor, is here with the PSEP program manager to explain what these amendments will accomplish and to answer any questions my colleagues may have about these amendments and the committee's work or the facilitators or the work itself. So with that, I'll turn it over to Nicole. Thanks for being here.
Mayor, commissioners, good afternoon. I'll introduce myself for the record. My name is Nicole Grant, senior policy advisor for Mayor Wheeler. I'm here today with Mandy Hood, project manager for the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, affectionately known as the PSEP. You know, as the mayor said, this has been a long road. In August 2017, council approved amendments to the settlement agreement, notably the framework for the newly conceived PSEP. In April of this year, the city presented those amendments to Judge Simon at a status conference and fairness hearing. With the exception of the PSEP plan, all amendments received approval from Judge Simon. The PSEP plan was conditionally approved by Judge Simon, pending an update to be given next month. We're here today to offer changes to the PSEP plan at the recommendation of our outstanding PSEP facilitators, Training for Transformation and the Brad Taylor Group, and to establish the PSEP formally for the Portland community. I'm also happy to report that the DOJ has formally approved the changes to the PSEP plan. Before delving into those changes before you today, I've asked Mandy Hood to set the stage for those changes and the resolution that you are approving. Mandy has been instrumental in her work as the PSEP project manager. She brings with her institutional knowledge from her work with the Community Oversight and Advisory Board, the COAB, and a keen understanding of issues affecting those with mental health conditions. In this work, she has been a partner, a critical voice, and an advocate. She has shepherded this process from the selection of the facilitators by the Facilitator Evaluation Committee to where we are today. Before passing the microphone on to her, I'd like to formally thank her in this setting and on the record for the commitment and sheer heart she has brought to this process. Thank you. You didn't know I was going to say all of that.
I didn't. Thank you so much, Nicole. That means a lot to me. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Mandy Hood. I'm the project manager for the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. In April of this year, an evaluation committee selected Training for Transformation and the Brad Taylor Group to serve as the PSEP facilitators. That evaluation committee was comprised of Frida Caesar, Director of Equity and Inclusion at Central City Concern, Dana Coffey, Portland Commission on Disability, Jan Friedman, Attorney for Disability Rights Oregon, Janie Gullickson, Executive Director of the Mental Health Association of Oregon, Kalei Lubin, who is in the audience today and is a member of the AMAC, Daniel Curtis Cathers, a member of the NAACP, and myself. Though the city initially sought one facilitator, the evaluation committee felt strongly that the top two candidates working together would best serve the PSEP in the communities of Portland. Training for Transformation, led by Hoon Tang and Brandon Lee, is an Oregon State-certified minority business enterprise that specializes in equity-focused community building between law enforcement and the diverse residents they serve. Hoon is a peace builder whose background includes art, reconciliation, public involvement, and conflict transformation. Brandon brings lived experience as a survivor of numerous racial profiling cases, served as legal redress committee chairman for the NAACP, and worked to fund the Community Police Review Board in Oakland, California. The Brad Taylor Group is an Oregon State-certified emerging small business specializing in developing communication strategies through training seminars, conflict resolution, and facilitation services. Brad Taylor has worked as a direct line social worker, empowering residents living in supportive housing, as a homeless outreach worker advocating for some of Portland's most vulnerable residents, and as a mobile mental health crisis response worker for Multnomah County. The PSEP facilitators began work on May 10. With a limited amount of time, they hit the ground running. Their outreach strategy focused on removing barriers to participation for historically marginalized communities and empowering Portlanders with lived experience to take lead in city processes. An emphasis was placed on obtaining quality applications instead of simply amassing a large number of applicants. Per the PSEP plan, a selection advisory committee comprised of representatives from each council office was selected to develop the written application and selection criteria for the PSEP. The selection advisory committee members are Dr. Cynthia Fowler, psychiatrist and chair of the health committee for the NAACP, appointed by Commissioner Saltzman, Julie Ramos, mental health advocate and recent vice chair of the Citizen Review Committee, appointed by Commissioner Fritz, Museo Lowell, chairman of the Somali American Council of Oregon, appointed by Commissioner Udaly, Bobbin Singh, executive director of the Oregon Justice Resource Center, appointed by Commissioner Fish, and Darrell Walker, psychologist and executive director of Cascadia Behavioral Health, appointed by Mayor Wheeler. In addition to the facilitators' outreach efforts, the Selection Advisory Committee, council staff, and I all engaged in a broad outreach strategy to reach as many Portlanders as possible. This included presenting at community meetings, hosting informational sessions, and having targeted and informal conversations within our networks. Because of this effort, as Mayor Wheeler said, we received over 100 applications from the Portland community to serve on the PSEP. Outside of the development of the written application, neither the mayor's office nor council offices were involved in any part of the selection advisory committee's selection process. Discussion around who to interview and final recommendations to the mayor were the sole responsibility of the selection advisory committee. The process was intentionally structured this way in order to ensure the fairness and preserve the integrity of the process. When reviewing written applications and interviewing candidates, the Selection Advisory Committee focused on the following areas when assessing applicants: lived experience as a member of a marginalized community, lived experience with mental or physical health issues, interpersonal skills, experience working within or advocating for marginalized communities, and experience utilizing social services and engaging in government processes. The Selection Advisory Committee provided its recommendations to the mayor, listing the candidates they believe should be on the PSEP along with alternates. The mayor's office consulted with the commissioner offices before the mayoral interviews and will be meeting with the Selection Advisory Committee and council offices this week to discuss the candidates. In addition to the mayor, of course, each mayoral interview was attended by Nicole Grant, Jared Hager from the U.S. Attorney's Office, a PSEP facilitator, and a member of the Selection Advisory Committee. The PSEP facilitators and I are currently working to confirm retreat and training plans for the PSEP. The retreat will provide PSEP members with the time and space to get to know one another, begin to coalesce as a group, and gain clarity on their work and mission, as well as develop an organizational structure for the PSEP. Training will continue beyond the retreat process. The facilitators and I will be connecting soon with community members and stakeholder groups to discuss and receive feedback about training ideas and resources. In addition to the training topics outlined in the PSEP plan, topics will include training on institutional racism, understanding mental health from the perspective of those with lived experience, and lessons learned from the COAB process. Given the importance of the work of this community and the need to thoughtfully build relationships with community members, the PSEP will spend October and part of November continuing their training and engaging the community with the expectation of holding their first community meeting in November. The mayor's office has agreed to continue holding monthly forums on public safety until the PSEP has its first meeting in order to keep the community engagement and conversation continuing.
Thank you, Mandy. So in the interest of time, I'd like to walk you all through the major changes being requested today. These changes have been reviewed by the AMAC and Portland Police Association, and we have incorporated their feedback. Our facilitators also met with the AMAC on two different occasions to discuss their plans for the PSEP as well. Last August, City Council made a commitment to the AMAC to establish an 11-member committee. So if you recall, the PSEP plan calls for 9 to 11, so we made a formal commitment for an 11-member committee. The eligibility criteria for the PSEP permits Portlanders who are 16 years and older to serve on this board. Knowing that there was a possibility that high school-aged youth would apply to this board, it was important to place intention behind the call to action that we extended to that generation. We needed to meaningfully facilitate youth participation. With these amendments, the committee will be expanded from 11 to 13. The additional two seats are reserved for youth who will serve together during the school year. A separate process for youth has also been carved out in order to adhere to best practices for youth-adult partnerships. So rather than one-on-one interviews, interviews will be conducted and have been conducted in a group setting. Like the adults, youth members will be voting members. Though this is not spelled out in the plan itself, our facilitators will work to ensure that youth voices are honored and respected, and adult mentors will be identified for each youth member. Prior to the first meeting, and this is another change, members are expected to attend PPB's Community Academy and participate in a ride-along. That said, these changes contemplate the provision of reasonable accommodations for each. Though the PSEP plan sets forth options in this regard, the city recognizes that reasonable accommodations must be established through direct engagement with the affected person. These changes in the PSEP plan provide a floor for those accommodations rather than setting parameters around what they may be. Additionally, meetings will now be held on a monthly basis instead of twice monthly out of concern for the time commitment that we have been asking of PSEP members. And they will generally be open to the public with an opportunity for public comment before the conclusion of deliberations and voting. PSEP facilitators will ensure that no votes are taken without the public having the opportunity to be present. Wrong page. PSEP will also now be able to form subcommittees that meet at other times during the month. Subcommittee meetings must be open to the public and allow the public an opportunity to provide input. And I'll use that as a moment or a point to say, opportunity to say, that the PSEP plan really is a floor for this work rather than setting kind of finite parameters around kind of the work of committee members. So to that end, rather than requiring the format of town halls and roundtables, the facilitators are looking to break the mold of community engagement around policing. Their focus will be on gathering input from Portlanders in culturally responsive ways. So with that said, I would like to invite Brandon Lee of Training for Transformation to introduce himself, his work, and the facilitators' plans for community engagement.
Well, I have one question before we move on.
Sure, Commissioner Fitch. So
I understand you mentioned there would be training materials and a retreat to set clear expectations of all members of PSEP. Given the work we've done in creating reforms of our system of boards and commissions, can I assume that this is being coordinated with Judy Prosper?
Correct.
So that we're doing all the hard work at the front end of making sure we understand what's the status of people who serve on this body, what
Correct.
Body of rules apply, and that people understand what they can and can't do with emails and other kinds of things?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Brandon.
Hello. First, I want to acknowledge the mayor and all of the commissioners. Thank you for your time. And all right, so I'll begin with, is there a particular question or you want to begin with the introduction?
Yeah.
Mr. Lee, could you just identify yourself for the record?
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
So my name is Brandon Lee. For the record, I am co-founder and president of Training for Transformation, LLC. So we began this work. Our brand is referred to as Community Conscious Policing. And one of the jobs that I've taken on is I began as someone who suffered from racial profiling. And when I was at Oregon State University as a faculty member, this is a few years ago, there were not only in the media a lot of conflict between police and community, but even on our campus there were hate crimes occurring, and there just wasn't support for the students that I worked with. It was through that process that I reached out to our local law enforcement agency, and through our engagement at that time, I was with NAACP. Working together, we came up with this, what we refer to now as community conscious policing, where we offered training opportunities where we brought law enforcement and community into the same room. So we hope to bring the skills that we have gleaned through those processes to the PSEP. And you've heard some of the recommendations that we've made in terms of processes to bring community and law enforcement together here in Portland. And I'm here to offer any more details in terms of how we can support this PSEP process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. So I gave Carla earlier a list of proposed amendments, additional amendments to the PSEP plan. These are fairly minor. I'll wait until they're handed out.
Thanks, Carla.
So the first amendment kind of follows our conversations with the AMAC. We wish to clarify that community gatherings will happen on a quarterly basis. These changes are not meant to reduce in any way the level of community engagement initially contemplated by the PSEP plan. So the first amendment is to simply add language that ensures the gathering of input from Portlanders on a quarterly basis. The sentence would read, under members' responsibilities, on a quarterly basis, gather input from Portlanders regarding experiences with and perceptions of PPB's community outreach, just to ensure that there is kind of regular engagement with Portland's communities. The second and third amendment are being made in recognition of the fact that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement is now the Office of Community and Civic Life. And so the amended language would read, under the paragraph reference in the First Amendment, general consultation with the Office of Community and Civic Life. And then on the last page of the plan, the final paragraph, essentially doing the same.
So I would move these amendments.
Second.
We have a motion and at least 1 second. So we'll keep these on the table and open for public discussion.
Great. This concludes our presentation. I'd like to thank you all for your time and listening to us and for your support, particularly your council staff. I'd also like to express my gratitude to the AMAC for their continued collaboration and advocacy over the course of the last 2 years, because I've been here for a while. The PSEP plan would not be what it is kind of without their work, so thank you very much to them. And with that said, I'd like to invite Dr. Leroy Haynes from the AMAC to offer testimony.
Question first.
Oh, yes, please.
So what safeguards are built in or are being built in to prevent this committee from becoming dysfunctional?
So I'll kind of work with Mandy in kind of explaining this, but one of the key factors is having a retreat and substantial training. The COAB did not have the opportunity for that level, the level of training that we are planning, and certainly did not have a retreat prior to being seated. And so there wasn't an opportunity at that point for kind of interpersonal relationship building. Mm-hmm. And so that in itself kind of functions to protect the group. And then beyond that, just the structure of meetings, and we're working with the facilitators to kind of plan something that is functional. We'd like for the PSEP to have an opportunity, when necessary, to conduct their work without concern for public disruption. And you know, to the extent there are disruptions, they would have the opportunity to have a hold a closed door meeting. And that was language in the PSEP plan amendments that we worked with the AMAC to craft.
And what kind of time expectations are there on members?
I think we said 8 hours a month.
That was the approximate time.
Yeah. 8 hours a month, and then each meeting would be 3 hours in length.
So 8 hours on top of 3 hours?
Or? No. Oh, okay. It would be included.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, subcommittee meetings as they're formed, and then just reading literature.
Okay. That's bordering on the high side of time commitments in my mind in terms of truly trying to get broad participants, broad sector participants.
We, during the application process, we said at the outset what the kind of minimum time commitment would be, and there was, I think, broad understanding that it could be more, but that would likely be determined by PSEP members and also the facilitators and working with PSEP members as the work plan is fleshed out.
Okay.
I think one of the problems before was that we guessed wrong and we didn't we didn't say up front, can you commit to this? Some of the other things I was pleased when I met with this group yesterday to hear is that we're going to be providing much more support, both individual, personal, one-on-one, how are things going type support, but also childcare, travel expenses, dinner and such like that. So really giving the volunteers the support that they need to dedicate that amount of time.
I'll just add one more. They tend to be modest, but these three facilitators are outstanding, and they will readily agree. I put them through the ringer when I first met with them. I wanted a good, hard shakedown to make sure they understood that this is not just like any community meeting. This is one where there's a lot of history. For many people, there's a lot of emotion. For others, they are members of vulnerable communities. And so the idea that they propose to actually work together on this and they come with different strengths, I thought was a really compelling opportunity. And it is fundamentally different in the ways they're thinking, and I should probably let them talk about it, but I was really excited to hear them say they didn't want to just do the old community meeting thing exclusively. They wanted to find ways that people could feel comfortable participating. And for some people, maybe it's just picking up a phone and talking into a voicemail and not having to be there in person. Or maybe it's via video or Skype, or maybe it's through some other means. And I just like the fact that these facilitators were very open and creative and innovative in terms of trying to find different ways to engage people. At the end of the day, though, I really think it's going to come down to good facilitation. The training is super important. Clarifying the expectations right up front, that's really important. These facilitators know they're going to earn every dime that their contracts prescribe.
Yes.
And I'm appreciative of that.
Well, thank you all very much, and I'll use this as the time to invite Dr. Leroy Haynes to the dais.
Very good.
Thank you, Dr. Haynes. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
To our distinguished Mayor Ted Wheeler and to our illustrious members of the Portland City Council, I am the Dr. Leroy Haynes, Chairperson of the Obama Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. AMAC, as is often referred to, has been engaged in the leadership effort on the community perspective of police reform since the Kendra James case in 2003. We have led the effort to bring the Department of Justice in a present lawsuit on the settlement agreement that the city of Portland is presently under. Now in this transitional period of amending the original court settlement by replacing COAB with the Portland Committee for Engaging Policing, PSEP, AMAC and citizens of Portland, I want to correct one aspect of the historical, as both a theologian and historian, that during the appeal level, we were not a participant in the creation of the PSEP, but we were called in the latter stage. I think historical reference is critically important. Then we were allowed to give input to the PSEP proposal that had been drafted. It was in this council chamber that many of the proposed changes were actually made during that particular time of the council hearing. Item 952 represents many of those changes, and we are thankful for the council for hearing the voices of not only AMAC, but the many voices of the citizens in the community. Yet, we still have some concerns on process that we have shared with the city. Number one, that in the procedure and the process of handling meetings, we are concerned that the public be given voice opportunity, not just in terms of very electronic devices, but actually face-to-face meeting and open sessions and prior to the decision-making of PSEP board. Secondly, that PSEP established internal procedures and protocols for carrying out the work of reviewing the settlement agreement with intentionality. Third, that PSEP, which I am glad to hear, will provide other opportunities to hear the voices of citizens throughout the community on police reform. Finally, we believe it is the responsibility of COCO to provide an opportunity for the public to review its work prior to the presentation to Judge Michael on its update on the settlement agreement. AMAC believe as PSEP go about the process of building relationship with the diverse communities that these additions will help build trust in our much-needed community between the Portland Police Bureau and the citizens of Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your being here today.
Okay.
Nicole, does that complete your... All right, very good. How many folks do we have signed up, Carla?
We have three more on the list.
Very good.
Philip J. Wolf, Dan Handelman, and Charles Bridge Crane.
Hi, Mayor Wheeler and council members. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I want to make clear that even though I'm a member of the AMA Coalition Steering Committee, I'm speaking on behalf of Portland Cop Watch today. We attended the community forum last Wednesday where Ms. Grant brought the concept of these changes forward, but there were no physical copies for anybody to look at. And I pointed out at the time that then nobody in the community could see those changes until Friday afternoon before three-day weekend. There were a lot of people here last August when we were contemplating these changes, this committee in the first place, and there's not as many people here today because this happened over Labor Day weekend, and a lot of people didn't even know this is happening. And so, you know, and this is a committee on community-engaged policing, but a lot of the discussions about what's going into this change plan now didn't involve a full engagement of the community. So we generally are not opposed to expanding the committee to 13 members. Many people, including us, talked about how you can't have a real diverse representation of the community with only 9 people, and got the council to expand that to 11. I'm glad to see it now expanding to 13. That you clarify the length of the terms in these amendments is something else we talked about last year. We raised concerns at this meeting last week about the accommodation for people who don't want to necessarily attend the community academy or go on a ride-along. It was presented as something that was being done for ADA purposes, an accommodation in a legal sense. But there's a member of the COAB who refused to fire a weapon, a gun, during the community academy, and then was treated differently by other members of the group and the police after they did that. And I think that it should be clear that if you don't want to participate in certain parts of that training, that you shouldn't be forced to if it's a moral thing and not an ADA issue. I'm glad to hear about the reinstitution of the quarterly town halls. That was great, something that we were going to mention as a concern, although they're not being called town halls. It's very good that, as Dr. Haynes said, that there will be public input before any vote. There was mentioned something here and last Wednesday about electronic participation, if somebody can clarify that, because it really is important for us to be in the room watching the deliberations and then having input just before the vote happens. I want to make sure that that's being done in a community-engaged way. It's also good that the subcommittees are going to be open to the public. I think that's very important as well. In general, we express concerns constantly when these kinds of groups go on retreats that somebody has to make absolutely sure they're not actually discussing any business that should be being discussed in a public forum. And any training materials and anything that's going to be coming up at the retreat should also be made public so that everybody knows what's happening at those.
Did you have a couple more there, Dan?
What's that?
Did you have more?
I did have one more thing,
sure,
which is that we were told also last Wednesday that there are going to be 3 alternates. And you said, Mr. Mayor, I think just now, that you have to choose among 17 adults and a couple of youth. All 5 alternate members of the COAB got burned through within the first year, and then that's why they start running out of people to re-seat, to fill those empty seats. So I would think about having a larger pool of alternates, and maybe that way you can actually keep all the people who have made it to this stage engaged.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Philip? Thank you, Philip.
Good afternoon. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. It's an honor to testify here after Philip and have at least one COAB survivor come here. I think that on that note, it was good to hear that there's a plan to better support the community members who will be PSEP members. I know that under the COAB structure, there was maybe not even any expense reimbursement for COAB members, while the COAB COCAL person elevated their salary from $70,000 to over $120,000 a year. So I'm glad that we've learned a lesson from that. In preparing for this, one of the things that came up is I ended up back at a link on the city's own website, the PortlandOregon.gov website, /police/article/33708. How did I get there? Because I went to a search engine and I typed in Kendra James murdered by police. So the people that won't be testifying here definitely include Quanis Moose Hayes, Terrell Kareem Johnson, Aaron Campbell, Brad Lee Morgan, James Chassie, unarmed persons, one accused of having a knife or a fake gun, who are dead because we haven't perfected policing in Portland. They're not the only ones. We have had armed people in mental health crisis in parking garages, once in the Lloyd, once over by Good Sam Hospital. Those armed people, we would still like to have a resilient, trained police force that gets us down to the level of lethality that we see from police in all the civilized countries of Europe, where the number of police people killed by police in Portland exceeds the death tolls of some countries. So I hope that all of you as council members will fully support, even better than you supported the COAB members, these people who are volunteering for the PSEP. I want to particularly thank Commissioner Amanda Fritz, who's appointee to the COAB, Dr. Silver. She persisted. And but that's not to fault anybody that went into the COAB. There were some, maybe some people think it was a little bit rushed, maybe some people weren't aware of the burdens, but definitely I think everybody who was on the city council at that time, back in the times when Mr. Novick and Mr. Hales were sitting up there, would realize that they probably could have supported those community members better. And so it will be interesting to see what November brings. After the hopeful blue wave, the PSEP can get on and hopefully find a constructive way of engaging with people. I noticed that we're going to have Darrell Walker, CEO of Cascadia. They deserve a little special credit. It used to be when you went to Cascadia's website and looked at their board of directors, it was alphabetized. So Officer Burley from the Portland Police Department, who was on the board at that time, came up, and that's not really a great way to, for people with mental health issues and police dealings to face things. So the proof will be in the pudding in November. I'll be looking further into the better cost balancing as far as the administrative expense versus reimbursement for just parking and stuff that those good citizens volunteering will be facing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Very good. Colleagues, did you want to have Nicole come back up? Did you have any questions, or can you go ahead and call the roll?
Do the amendments and then the resolution.
That's correct. I'm sorry. Thanks, Nick. So we'll do, there are three amendments.
I move them as a package.
Commissioner Fish has moved them as a package. Second. And we have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Let's call the roll on the amendments.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler.
All right. The amendments are adopted. Thank you, and thank you, Nicole, for working hard to draft those. To the main motion, please. Call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaley.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, this is phenomenal work. Nicole Grant, you deserve a lot of credit for this, and thank you for persevering also. You know, I think everybody did the best we could with the we're not on captions. Are we good? Thank you. Everybody did the best that we could with the information we had available. What's good about this is that we have learned from what didn't go so well in the past, and I was skeptical when this was introduced, and it has really become something that I'm very hopeful can succeed. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for your leadership on this. Thank you to the facilitators. I think that we are going to be set up really well with this new process. Thanks to Christina Nieves on my staff, who continues to help me on police issues. Julie Ramos was my appointee to the selection committee and former work on the Citizens Review Committee. There's still a lot of other aspects of the Department of Justice settlement that we need to continue to work on. And I do believe this is a good step forward. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I think I'll keep my thank yous brief. There are a lot of people in this room who worked very, very hard over many, many months to bring us to this point, and a lot of the same people are going to be engaged in the long term, making sure this is successful. Nick, thanks. You've done a fantastic job. I appreciate it. I want to thank everybody who has worked so diligently on the selection committee. Thank you. I want to thank our friends at AMAC. I want to thank the USDOJ. Jared, thank you for your leadership and your participation. I want to thank our legal counsel, all of my colleagues who've worked hard on this in one capacity or another. To the facilitators, you've got your work cut out for you, but you're up to it. And to the members of the community, you know, my pledge to you is to make sure that you do have the support you need to be successful in this process. I think you all know what's at stake. There's a lot riding on the success of this, and Portland needs to be one of a handful of communities that can show the rest of the country that we can make progress, and we will. And this is an important milestone in getting us there. So I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Thank you. Next item.